Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Good evening. What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Snug Wrestling Podcast. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. It's a special episode because we had Saturday night's main event last night. And the crew's all here with me, even though it's not our usual recording day, but, thanks fellas for joining me tonight. This whole weekend has been filled of wrestling, Friday night SmackDown, which we went over, Saturday night's main event. We had NXT Battleground. AEW is still having their pay-per-view right now, I believe. But I really want to talk about what we saw last night, for Saturday night's main event. Which I thought was I love this show. I thought this show was amazing. So we're gonna be talking about that. How are you guys doing today?
Doing really great now that we got my audio figured out.
Yeah, you're doing your fucking tap, Mike. Come
on. I'm doing very well. Just got off of work earlier today and got me some money. Let's go. Got paid today.
Happy That's always hell. Great. That's always great. So just
he's
really
over
quick.
Here getting Shane McMahon's theme song. Money, 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 money.
Here comes the money.
So just really quick, you guys, after last night's Saturday night's main event, what did you guys think about the show overall? Because some of the people that I was talking to about it hated it. They did not like it. I'm in this group chat with a bunch of other wrestling content creators, and there's like maybe like 15 or 20 of us, and I was probably the only one that was like, this was one hell of a show. So just really quick, what did you guys think about this overall?
Personally, I found it mostly inoffensive. I would say that I didn't love it, but I did like it. As far as the show went, I found most of the matches inoffensive, if not a little too short for my taste. I thought every match felt way too short. Part of me was like, why did they even fly Cena out here for his match? But mostly I thought the right people won, I guess, in most of their matches. But I think it was fine. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm the same way, Blood. They shoved what is supposed to be a two-hour show into an hour and a half. Especially like the first three matches, which I'm shocked that they put Cena right in the middle. Like, I am absolutely shocked that they put that match there. I honestly thought that they would have switched that steel cage with Cena. If not, it being the main event. But still, I did feel like the matches were a little bit too short for a show that is supposed to be like 2 hours. Like the first 30 minutes is two matches. Like I felt like that was just like way too short, especially for one of the biggest damn tag matches in the past few months.
Yeah, I had a feeling that John Cena wasn't going to be the main event. I thought it was going to be the steel cage match. I completely forgot that Jey Uso was on this show. So when I saw Jey Uso was the main event, I was like, you know what? That actually makes sense. You know, he's a world heavyweight champion. He should be in the main event. It's his fucking nickname, Main Event Jey Uso, for a reason. But Toxic, what did you think? What were your overall thoughts? And then BT.
I loved Saturday night's main event. Unlike the pile of horse shit that was last Saturday night main event, I hated that Saturday night main event. God, that's a mouthful. Anyways, if I had to rate it, it's a yeet out of yeet.
Yeet out of yeet. I'll remember that one. I wasn't able to watch the full show because, unfortunately, I don't have Peacock in Australia where I am. Fuck me, my brain's not working. This is what happens when you stay up all night and then work for 4 hours. yeah, I wasn't able to watch the full show due to the fact I don't have Peacock in my area. It's not available in Australia. But I did see the clips. And I enjoyed them for what it was. I did. I really enjoyed them. So if I had to give a personal rating, I'd give it 7.5 out of 10, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's the other thing, too, about Peacock. I felt like Peacock had a lot more commercials than Netflix does. Like, oh my fucking God. Like, I was thinking, like, I'm just going to buy the premium version because I think, is there like a premium version of Peacock that you can purchase?
Yes, there is. The aggravating part is I did the replay because remember, I was at my buddy's house. We were hanging out and having a hangout night. So I came home. I watched the show at about 11:45 at night when it started. And by the time the first match was over, I had gotten three fucking 60 or 90 minute ads, like commercial interruptions. And I was like, oh my God, bro. And then I was like, they need to start moving these Saturday Night Main Events live on Netflix or something, because BT and I both on Netflix, our accounts, we don't get commercials. We're completely ad free on Netflix. So watching wrestling with ads every now and again when it's Saturday Night's Main Event is jarring. It's obsessed. It's excessive.
Yeah,
it's excessive. 90
minutes? Do you mean 90 seconds?
No, or so. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, 90 second. I had two 90 second ads, and then I met, like, most of the matches were in the fucking ad breaks, and then 60 second ad. Not bullshitting here. 3 minutes before the match finished, and I was like, that's why to me I was like, it's fine. I couldn't get into most of the matches as much as I wanted to, because just when they started cooking, it cut to an ad break. So yeah, it just kept cutting to ad break every time the match got good, and it just kept taking me out of it.
Bro, whenever I was watching the NRL, National Rugby League, when I was younger, I would go through the exact same shit. Every time there would be a fucking ad that would pull up for 3 minutes after we have just seen the tying try scorer that scored the try to tie the game, like 2020, right? And then an ad pops up for 3 fucking minutes. Like, what the fuck? Why would you do that? It's getting at the height of the fucking game.
We got a funny comment here that says they're on NBC broadcast television commercials. They will happen. What part of that don't y'all not get? We get it. Trust me, like, I'm not usually the one to bitch and complain about commercials all the time. I know that it's a business. I know they have to have commercials. I'm not an idiot, but like, I was to the point where I was starting to feel like I'm just going to look for the premium version of Peacock, because I feel like I'm missing a lot as a content creator. Like, I don't want to be missing out on good shit, you know? But anyway, overall, I still enjoyed the show a whole lot, maybe more than I should. Because it seems like not that many people liked it, but I thought this show was great. But let's get into it, you guys. The opening match was a tag team match, Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker versus CM Punk and Sami Zayn. And I'm usually the one that's going to complain about, you know, tag team matches in the WWE, the tag team division. The WWE has had good tag team matches lately, but it's with random teams that are put together. Technically, these guys are not even in the tag team division. We saw a great tag team match on SmackDown with Jimmy Uso teamed up with Rey Fénix. You know, they teamed up versus JC Mateo and Jacob Fatu. The next night after Saturday Night's Main Event, we see this tag team match, which I really enjoyed. And to make things even better, Bronson Reed came back. Unexpectedly, we got a surprise return from Bronson Reed, and he is the fourth member of this group. And now we can call this a faction. Now that they added a fourth guy, Bronson Reed is the new Paul Heyman guy, and I'm so pumped for this. I popped big when I saw Bronson Reed come back, and I thought this was one hell of a way to start off this fucking show. That's your turn, Mr. Blood. You can stop dancing.
I was doing the EO Sky.
Yeah, you're doing something with your mouth.
Yeah, you know what I was doing with my mouth there, Snug? I was being right because I called it.
Oh, here we go again, being the fourth member. Here we go again.
For those of you within the sound of my effervescent voice, I literally called Bronson being the fourth member about actually the night that they actually formed when everybody was speculating who the extra members might be or could be. So the very night that they formed for the first time on that Monday Night Raw after Mania, I literally called Bronson Reed as the fourth member. So one, it is awesome to see Bronson Reed back. That is cool. So glad he's back. For those of you who forgot, during War Games last year, he jumped off of the top of the cage doing a tsunami when he was going to splash Roman. CM Punk pulls him off the table. He goes to the table, but when he landed, he kind of touched feet first and wound up breaking, I think, one of his ankles or both of them. And he was out for quite some time, and he was getting really red hot as a heel on Monday Night Raw. He'd had a great program with Seth, had an awesome program with Braun Strowman. And he was doing this whole new shtick where he tsunamis you over and over again to the point where his finish is over. And the crowd, even if he's with baby faces, are cheering for him to squash the baby face one more time. So that tells you right there that you're on the right track with his character. So awesome to see him back, because he is definitely one of the most interesting heels in an era where we have so many heels, but he's one of the heels that are cool heels. He's got that it factor about him, and it's just awesome that he's back. So I can't wait to see where this goes. It looked for a second like we might get a little bit of infighting down the road between him and Bron Breakker, but they shook hands, and we might still see some professional jealousy between them trying to vie for Seth's attention possibly in the future. I think that's the story thread that they're probably going to go on based on that small interaction they had when they were sizing each other up for a second. But overall, the match I think was awesome. I did enjoy this match because obviously if it's CM Punk, my eyes are glued like Gorilla Glue to the screen. But I thought everybody in this match did a great job. It was worked incredibly well. I loved that it came down to Sammy being the one to eat the pin because of his history he's already got with Bron Breakker. So there's a thread there that they're still tugging on. But also Sammy's only involved in this because he quote-unquote stuck his nose where it didn't belong with Seth. And it's like, well, no, Sammy did the right thing. In fact, Seth, you're sticking your nose where it doesn't belong because you're the one who keeps, you know, interfering on people and attacking people from behind and trying to get your foothold in wherever you can. And you expect them to sit there and just take it. You also involved Sammy yourself when he said no to you in his match against Bron Breakker just a few weeks ago, and you curb stomped his head into the mat. So no, you involved Sammy in this. But having the finish be a way that it protects Punk and Sammy was smart. Utilizing Bronson Reed's return by having him run Punk through that barrier. And I still, to this day, no matter what, I always pray to God, please, Punk, don't get injured. Don't get hurt again, because I don't want to see him hurt. I love him being an active competitor. So when I see Bronson Reed, that massive mountain of a man smashing him through a security barrier, I'm like, please, please just land safely, you know? But I thought it was a great finish because it sets up, obviously, the new stable in its completion, I'm assuming, at this point. You don't want to overfill the stable because then there's too many people to focus on and you'll lose the plot real quick. But it protects them in the finish because they lost due to interference with the ref not being able to catch it. Sammy gets distracted trying to check and then turns around straight into one hell of a spear by a Bron Breakker. And ding, 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 Bob's your uncle. This shit's going to get real good real quick. So loved it.
Yeah. And just really quick, I just want to add that CM Punk looked really fucking good in this match too, by the way.
He looked awesome. He was on fire. And man, you know, say what you will about him, but there's a select group of men on that roster that are in their 40s that still move like they're in their 20s and early 30s. You know, CM Punk, AJ Styles, you're about to be kissing 40 with Reigns, Rollins, and Drew here pretty soon. But you've got AJ Styles, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, all in their 40s. all of them excellent workers. Like, their paces are still incredible. So yeah, Punk had a great showcase last night.
I love this match, even though I didn't like the outcome, like who won in this match. I would have preferred for Sammy and Seth, but they lost in a good way to where I was happy with it. I was happy with it because, like Blood said, they looked strong in the finish. Obviously not so much Punk, because rest in peace his ribs. But yeah, I liked it, but I didn't at the same time. More liked it than I didn't.
Yeah, you were hoping to see CM Punk and Sami Zayn win, like a lot of us did. I was kind of hoping for that too. But I think this finish does make him look stronger. You also add Bronson Reed, which even adds more to that. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, what is it going to take for this team, this faction, who's going to step up to them now? You know, I think that was the big question that, at least that's what I'm looking forward to seeing next. But Tommy, what did you think?
One thing you also got to remember though, as well, and this is really quick, but it's to your point, Toxic. We all want the guys we really love to win, but this is the first time this team has been in action together ever since they formed as a team. So they need that win to keep them strong, keep their momentum going. So just keep that in mind.
Shout out to the real life. How big? What's going on? Welcome.
So my issue with it is simple. It was too short. It truly was. I get it. You're trying to open up the show in a big way. But this is one of the biggest tag matches within the past couple of months. For sure. And you gave them like 10 minutes, like 10, 15 minutes for one of the biggest tag matches. Like, I love all four of these guys. I really do. Bronson Reed coming back. Thank God we have not seen this man in almost a year. So we're good there. We are happy that this man is okay and that he wasn't like out after breaking both of his ankles. So we're honestly good with that. But I honestly wish that this match would have been longer. I get it. You were trying to make it quick because it's supposed to be a 2-hour show. But like I said in the beginning, you took what is supposed to be a 2-hour show and shrunk it into an hour and a half. I honestly wish that this match would have been longer. That is my only issue with it. Other than that, this was a fantastic match.
The only thing I got to say about this is for people who say that Bronson Reed joining Seth and Braun and Paul was a bad decision, that Seth and Bronson Reed have history of a rivalry, like, why would they squander that? Mr. Blood brought up Survivor Series, War Games. They have a common enemy, which is CM Punk. CM Punk moved Roman Reigns off the table for Bronson Reed to go through, so I'm pretty sure Bronson is going to want to get revenge on Punk, because I think for some reason they'll probably say something like, you're the one that broke my ankles. It wasn't me that landed on my feet. It was you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have landed on my feet. Like, they'll come up with some bullshit like that. You know what I mean? So I think it was the right decision to have someone like Bronson Reed join a force like Seth, Paul, and Braun. I think it was a really good decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And just when it comes to like the length of the matches, like for me personally, I don't want a match to drag also and over welcome its stay. You know, I think I don't remember like going back thinking about all the matches on the show, thinking these matches are too short. Like, the only one that I thought was maybe too long is the next match that we're going to get into in a little bit. But I think this was perfect. This tag team match, we had great wrestling, tag team action. You know, they did good shit here. There was, you know, they even had a few false finishes, and then we had the major return. We didn't get, like, a DQ or, like, anything like that. There was a winner here. We got to see Paul Heyman got, you know, he got involved. There was, like, there were everything in this match, and it was just the opening match. So I thought that was really good. And when it comes to Bronson Reed, and you guys tell me what you guys think about this, because I was, I saw the reports and, you know, oh, it's going to be Bronson Reed, but there was something I also overheard, a couple people that I talked to about this told me it's not going to be Bronson Reed because Bron Breakker, he's already the muscle. You can't add another big guy to this faction like Bronson Reed because that's just going to make Bron Breakker look like, I don't know, like he's just kind of just there. But what did you guys think about that? Like, does it make sense in that
sense? Yeah, it's evolution 2.0. Think about it. Seth has become Triple H. Paul Heyman is Ric Flair. Bron Breakker is Randy Orton, and Bronson Reed is Batista. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I don't see that comparison, but yeah.
And
really, you have the veteran mind, which is Paul Heyman. The veteran mind, which is Paul Heyman, is Ric Flair.
I'm gonna stop you right there, Mr. Blood.
Ring General.
I'm gonna stop you right there. I just don't want to. We're always trying to bring back old shit. I don't want old shit. I want new shit.
You know, but it is new, but it's about finding the understanding of what they're trying to do. The point of putting these two young men with someone like Seth, a seasoned veteran, and someone like Paul, a legend who builds stars, is that these guys benefit from being under their learning tree. That's the whole reason they put Randy and Batista under Triple H and Ric Flair. It makes perfect sense.
We're comparing Paul Heyman with Ric Flair, but yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
So my response to this is simple. With an army, with a good offense, you need a good defense. And when it comes to this group, Braun is the great offense, and then Bronson Reed is that fantastic heavy defense that they needed.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's cool. I'm good with this either way, but it's just something like at first Bron Breakker, he seemed like he was like the muscle, right? He was that defense. He was that that weapon that Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins had, you know, in their back pocket to use whenever they needed, you know, someone to do the dirty work. And then what, now you got two motherfuckers like
Bron? Yeah, you got to think Bron Breakker is the first line of defense.
Mm-hmm.
You get through Bron Breakker, you're tired and exhausted. Great. Now you get to run into a brick wall. That's Bronson Reed. You've got to get through both of those guys to get to Seth and Paul. It's so smart because if Seth is the architect, he is insulating himself behind fresh, younger, hungrier talent that are also powerhouses. And you have one who has the speed and agility who can cut through you like a knife, like Bron fucking Breakker. And then you've got Bronson Reed, who is literally the ginormous absorbing shield. So you take down Bron Breakker, great. You've expended like 80% of your strength just to get that guy out of the way. Now with 20% left of your energy, you've got to get through Bronson Reed. So by the time you get through Bronson Reed, you're crawling on the floor begging for your mom, and then Seth's going to jump up and stomp your head to the freaking ground.
Yeah,
you know, it makes them intimidating.
This match. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Punk reached for Paul, and that is what led to the tsunami onto Punk. He got through Breakker, but he was still stopped fully by not Strowman. Yeah,
Reed.
By Reed.
Yeah, it really makes Seth's faction feel that much more intimidating, and it makes Seth himself more of a threat than he already was, because Seth's already a threat. But if you want to get to Seth, who is Seth freaking Rollins here, you got to get through those two guys first, and then you get to deal with the multi-time world champion, first ballot Hall of Famer, who's fresh as a daisy, because these guys just ripped you in half before you got to him. So I feel bad for whoever steps up against these guys, because it's not going to be fun.
Yeah, they're going to have to do, I don't know, man. Something's got to give, man. But it's going to be cool, and I'm interested.
You're right. You were right, though. Snug, you hit it on the head when you said, who the hell do you get to stop these guys? You hit it on the head. That's why it works so well. Mm-hmm. It makes you go, oh, fuck, this actually feels like they're going to have to pull out all the stops. Like, it makes you excited for, like, who are they going to throw together? You know?
Yeah, I'm starting to feel bad for CM Punk and Sami Zayn. Like, what the, you know? So that's cool.
Kind of reminds me of the ending of the Nexus, really, where Cena had to create this ragtag team of him and like four other guys just to finally take the Nexus down.
Yeah. Good stuff, y'all. Unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about this match. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it was Zelina Vega retained versus Chelsea Green after breaking her nose in a fucking horrible attempt of a 619. I was kind of hoping Chelsea Green was going to retain here. But now we still got Zelina Vega, Women's United States Champion, to look forward to on Friday nights. But overall, I didn't really pay too much attention to this match, to be honest. I was just kind of watching it to see if Chelsea Green would actually win. And after I saw that wasn't going to happen, I was like, all right, fuck, whatever. But what'd you think about this, Toxic?
Surprisingly for me, I know not for Snug because he just explained how much he hated this. Surprisingly, I thought this was going to be the bathroom break match. You know, the match that's not that interesting of the night. I thought it was going to be that, but it was actually good. For me, the match was really great. It got like boring in the beginning, but then as they go into the middle to end of the match, it's entertaining and it's fun to watch. You're like, oh my god, what are they gonna do next? That's how I felt about this match, and I feel like Chelsea, and I'm not saying that people need to get injured for entertainment. I'm saying the finish with the code red on the top of the turnbuckle and Chelsea breaking her nose, I felt like that put like a little bit of, you know, like a little extra spice in the match.
Yeah, to go with that 619, I do feel like Chelsea could have sold that a little bit more other than just like lightly holding her nose. She absolutely could have sold that more. But one of my biggest thoughts going into this match is the thought that Zelina Vega is absolutely an anime girl all the way. So I looked at it. I'm just like, okay, what anime character is she going to have the gear of today? Little did we know it would be one of the biggest heroes from My Hero Academia, good old All Might, for her gear. Which kind of makes sense, because you've got this powerhouse character, which practically cannot be stopped, which in Zelina's mind is her. She cannot be stopped in her mind right now. Since this is, other than Queen of the Ring, her first title. It truly is. And that is something that you cannot take away from her. You just can't. But with this, Snug, you just hate Zelina, so shut the fuck up. But with this, I'm with Tox on this one. I thought that this was going to be the last minute piss break, but it wasn't. It truly wasn't. It was a great match, and that ending with that super code breaker, perfection.
I'm gonna let you go in a little bit, BT. Code Red. But I was trying so hard not to jump in and interrupt you, Tommy, because I'm not gonna let you hate on poor Chelsea Green. All right, Chelsea Green is a way better in-ring performer than Zelina Vega. So for you to sit here and say she could have sold more after Zelina Vega broke her fucking nose in that botched 619 horrible. Hold on. Let me finish. Zelina Vega made Chelsea Green look hella stupid because Chelsea Green had to sit there and wait for Zelina Vega to fix her little 619, and they decided to just kick her in the fucking nose. And you want Chelsea Green to sell more for Zelina Vega? Fuck Zelina Vega. That's what I gotta say.
It looked like a no-sell. She was just laying there.
Someone wake me up when this mush mouth is done.
Anyway,
like a no-sell.
I can't wait for Chelsea Green to become the main women's champion because she is not just like her character. I know her character, a lot of people find her annoying, but you guys have not seen the best of what Chelsea Green can actually do. Like, we haven't seen not even half of what she's able to do in the ring. That's what I think. But BT, go ahead.
Fuck Toxic and Tommy. I agree with Snug on this. Zelina Vega does not make a good Women's United States champion. And I have given her a pass millions of times. I'm just fed up with her. And this botch of a fucking match fully confirmed it. Not only did you botch the 619, you're expecting Chelsea Green to still fucking sell the shit out of that when she's fully grasping at her nose being broken? Come on, grow the fuck up. Not only that, another thing that has been griping me about some of these women's matches, why the fuck do they always have to wear the same fucking gear? They looked like twins. They looked like twins. They wore the same blue and yellow outfit. We saw it with Tiffany and Charlotte at WrestleMania 41. They looked like fucking twins. Except Tiffany Stratton is a bit more thicker in the thighs. That's the only fucking difference. Like, bro. Yeah, I did not like this one bit. I'm with Snug. I do not like Zelina Vega as the women's US champion. I've given her a chance. I wanted to give her a chance. It's just been boring for me. Please. Give it to fucking Meechin for fuck's sake. She deserves it 10 times more than Zelina ever fucking did. And that's a fact.
Wow, a lot of opinionated answers here. Okay, so now I'm going to say my shit. I already said this before. I'm going to say it again because it was also heavily over-implied on commentary during this match. They're trying to compare Zelina Vega to Rey Mysterio as an underdog. I stated this multiple fucking times, guys. You know this. And then over and over again, Michael Cole on commentary kept putting her over as a prodigy of Rey, or not a prodigy, a pupil of Rey Mysterio, disciple of Rey Mysterio. He called her the underdog that was Rey Mysterio. He called her an underdog when they were outside the ring facing rampside. And I'm not going to say that Zelina Vega is a bad wrestler because I have seen worse, much, much worse, much worse. But at the same time, I noticed in this match that the weirdest thing about this match is that this match has been had a feud built into it for a little over a month now, over a month since prior to Mania, right? So like a month and a half now. How can a feud that's got a month and a half build into it still be this heatless? Because that crowd couldn't give a fuck about this match most of the match. By the third time I listened to Zelina Vega try to rally the crowd and scream, "Come on!" for the third fucking time, they finally started getting behind this match. They finally, towards the third act of this match, started actually getting into the match, cheering, screaming, chanting for the false finishes, all that shit. And the moment Zelina botched the 619, they started booing her. The moment. And here's the thing. We already know wrestling fans are fickle. That's no secret. However, I would also like to state for the record that I still think these women went out there and tried to have the best match they could with the time that was allotted to them. I don't think Zelina's green. I think Zelina, by the way, if you don't know this, has been a professional wrestler for 15 years. So she's a veteran. However, I just don't think these two have in-ring chemistry with each other. And they botched more than once in this match. It wasn't just a 619. They were off timing with each other. But to what Tommy said, as someone who is a former competitive martial artist myself, I'm a black belt in two different martial arts. And I've also been a wrestler. And I've also trained in kickboxing. And I've also been a backyard wrestler. Needless to say, I've been hit in the face hundreds of times. Hundreds. And the one thing that happens when you get hit in the face, especially the nose, they call the nose the button, because it is the one place in your face you get hit where when you get hit, there's something about the nerve endings that just shoot a signal to your brain where you just, and you lock up. The reason she didn't sell is because when she got hit in the nose that hard and it broke her nose, it literally stuns the body for a second because it's a bone being broken so close to the brain. The brain doesn't know how to send signals to move. It's like being paralyzed for a second. She couldn't sell because she was, she didn't sell because she couldn't move because her eyes were probably welling up with water. She had, if you ever had your nose broken, my friend, it hurts in a way that I would rather have my jaw broken than I'd have my nose broken again. And I've broken over 13 bones in my body, and I would rather have my nose broken my jaw than my nose broken, because at least with my jaw, I don't feel like I'm about to vomit, because getting hit that hard in the nose, you get nauseous, dizzy, tired, and almost pass out all at once. So Chelsea, being the consummate professional and, in my opinion, the badass, you know, tough girl that she is, because if you've seen her in Lucha Underground, that girl is tough. She still carried on with color seeping down her face into her mouth, which also means it's going down the back of her throat and she can't breathe. She's trying not to drown. Is sitting on top of the ropes in a code red setup with her head down like this. When anybody's ever had a bad nosebleed knows, you have to keep your head up like this. And I have literally had both of my nostrils, my blood vessels, cauterized, because both blood vessels blew open in seventh grade and I had to get evac to the hospital. They had to shove matches up my nose to burn my capillaries closed. And I can tell you, this is the worst position for you to be in when you are bleeding that profusely. Chelsea could have passed out, and she toughed it out, ate a code red where she let her whole body smack off the ground, which is even better when you have loose bones in your face, and still made sure that pin got done right. The MVP of this match is Chelsea, because it's sad that the woman that is not the champion had to carry the champion to the finish when the woman who got her nose broke was the one who should have had every excuse to fuck that finish up from not being able to continue from the pain. I'm not hating on Zelina. I love Zelina. I think she's a great entertainer, a great performer, but I think they put the championship on her to spike a demographic. I think they genuinely put it on her to spike a demographic. And I think it's that Spanish demographic. And I think they were trying, and they're very huge investors with Puerto Rico now. So I think they were also trying to pop them, because no offense to Zelina, but all they had to do was keep that title on Chelsea and just give her a better story. They didn't do that. They put it on Zelina for no other reason than to pop a rating, probably to entice Aleister Black to come back, because he debuted on the same night she fucking won the damn thing. But this match honestly showed that Zelina, even though she is a veteran, and I respect the hell out of her, I don't think she's, and I apologize for this and forgive me, I don't think she's championship material.
Go ahead, Toxic.
This is to everyone hating on Zelina for botching the 619 and not including Mr. Blood, because he said he wasn't. Not everyone's perfect. No one's gonna automatically finish the match or finish. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. Not everyone is going to hit a move perfectly every single time. There's some people, great. If you do it, great. Good job. Pat on the back. If you don't, okay, also great. Good job. Pat on the back.
No, you're right, Toxic. Nobody is perfect. But also, if you can't do the move, then don't fucking do it. Because look at what happened. Chelsea Green got her shit busted. That could have been avoided easily. But anyway, we spent way too much time, way more time on this than what we wanted. BT, really quick, do you want to add something about this match before we move on?
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly capitalize on what Tommy was saying earlier about Chelsea and the broken nose and her trying to sell more, as what his words. If you saw the match with John Cena and Seth Rollins in 2015, when Seth Rollins broke John Cena's nose, answer me this, Tommy. Would you expect John Cena to still sell more in that match simply because he's the greatest of all time and he's John Cena with a broken nose?
I will say this, now that I know more about how the fuck the nose works, no. I did not know the knowledge of what Blood said until now fully. So
okay.
I understand the no sound.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. I remember
when they were fighting for the US title, when John Cena had the historical US title run with the US Open Challenge and that.
Kind of ironic that the last two nose breaks we've seen in title matches were both for United States championships.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Maybe that title's cursed.
Well, speaking about John Cena, let's move on, because John Cena faced Ron Cena in a singles match. It was R-Truth versus John Cena. And we talked about this match on Friday Night SmackDown, how, you know, we were all looking forward to it because, you know, it's R-Truth and we love R-Truth and he represents all the little kids that John Cena was hating on. And this match was also really entertaining. I mean, everything from the entrance all the way to the end. Yeah, you know, R-Truth came out dressed as the good John Cena, you know, hustle, loyalty and respect, and, you know, wearing the colors and everything. And when the match started, R-Truth hit his vintage Cena with the five knuckle shuffle and the AA and all that, all that good stuff. The match was entertaining. John Cena got a lot of heat on R-Truth. They kind of teased us there a little bit. John Cena was kind of acting. He fooled R-Truth. Is he going to turn good? Is he going to regret everything that he did? And so they kind of teased that, but it ended up being a ruse. John Cena swerved us. He's not changing. He's still an asshole. Low blows R-Truth, gets the win, and then after the match, hits R-Truth over the head with the championship belt. And again, short and sweet and to the point. It was fun. It was entertaining. But what did you guys see with this one? Tommy, I think you're up.
Yeah, I will say this. I don't think Truth understood after the show, because he did say, he posted that Cena did hesitate. But he's hesitated. The good Cena is still in there. He hesitated. He had the chance to hit me with the belt, and he did not hit me with the belt. He's still in there. It's just a matter of getting him back out. Like, I do get that, Truth, but you're completely skipping out the part where, yes, he did hand the belt to the ref to put back to the side, but that was literally so he could low blow you, dude. That was literally to get the attention from the ref off of you and to put the title back so he could low blow you. Like, I get it. He is your childhood hero. I get that. But still, the man's plan was to get the ref off of you two so he could low blow you. And then, after the match, hit you with the belt. That was his entire plan. And it worked to a T. It worked perfectly. And Truth, I don't think, fully gets that. Because his main thought when it comes to Cena is, that's my childhood hero. He's still there. That is not the real John Cena that I know and love. That's not him. Guess what, Truth? For right now, unless he decides to turn back before he's out, no. That is him. That is also the exact same Cena who, after the match, right before the steel cage match, he's talking to Jey Uso about his global plan that he ends up going through on. Not fully, but we'll get to that match later, of him taking the title with him when he goes. And for tonight, or for last night, for Logan to get the world heavyweight title. We will talk about that later. But this is still the exact same Cena who said, now that would ruin wrestling entirely. It truly would. In his mind, it would. Because the belt would be on a YouTuber that, nonetheless, you have to give him his flowers, but again, we will get to that later. The point here is, Truth, we love you. We really do. But you have to understand, this is not the same John Cena that you, quote unquote, grew up with and love so damn much. It's not. This is a completely different Cena that is willing to do whatever it takes to win. And he proved that tonight with this match.
Quick shout out, you guys, to some people on TikTok, Maya, Densons09, AJB, and Blur. Thank you guys for the likes and the gifts and the sharing and all that good stuff. Appreciate y'all. Go ahead, BT.
R-Truth versus John Cena. John Cena versus Ron Cena. I gotta be honest. The ending brought me to tears, bro. It did. Because I'm an R-Truth fan. And seeing what John Cena did to Ron really hurt me. Because I know how it feels to, you know, look at someone who is your childhood and then see them for the monster that they are. I remember reacting to a YouTube channel years ago. I won't disclose their name because they've quit YouTube now. But they were my childhood and they influenced me to do Sonic videos. Like, I have Sonic plushies and I would do the exact same voices that they would do, right? They were so funny at the time, and I was like 10 years old when I was watching them, and I was laughing my ass off every time I watched them, bro. But years ago I found out they were a bit demented in the head and a bit, you know, weird. They got themselves into some allegations, and we found out they were true, and I saw them for the fraud and the monsters that they were. And I was heartbroken. So I know exactly how it feels to be R-Truth metaphorically in that sense. But I never had the courage to be like, you know, I'll fight for them, you know. So R-Truth is 10 times better than me at that. But yeah, it was an emotional story that I can connect to on a personal level. And seeing what John did to R-Truth, it really hurt me. Because that's your childhood hero, bro. Why would your childhood hero hit you in the head with the championship, bro? Justice for R-Truth. Protect R-Truth at all fucking costs, bro. That is the same guy that made you laugh your ass off in 2011. And you dare hit him in the head with a championship? Brother. You stupid for that. You stupid motherfucker. Why would you do that? But as match quality itself, it wasn't perfect. But it told its story. And I think it did its job. And I really enjoyed it. So just unfortunate we couldn't get the real John Cena back. Fucking damn it. But yeah, R-Truth is still a national treasure in my book.
Yeah, for a second there, I thought we were, but not tonight.